Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour, time for Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before you week after week, and that God has allowed me to still be able to go before his people. And God has allowed each and every one of you to call in week after week as we explore the Word of God. I just want you guys to know that Wednesday night Bible study is not a substitution for church, but it is a forum where we explore the Word of God together. And I'm just elated that God allows us to come back together one more time. As always, I always let you guys know that I don't know everything. And that's why the forum is designed where you can press the one button and you could give input, or you could add to it, or you could ask questions, and then we could fellowship together. But, you know, when I'm in a studio, I could see the numbers of the callers. It don't give me names. And I know some of the numbers, and some of the numbers I don't. So it's always a good thing to just press the button and say hi. Let me know who's on the program. And you may think that I know your number, but they all look familiar when they show up on the screen, in all honestness. But we're going to get into our lesson. As always, I play a song. We come back, we pray and go to the throne of grace. And then we come back and explore the Word of God together. You know, I don't know about you, but the more I study, the more I understand God. You know, God reveals himself to us in the Bible. God shows us what he did for one, he'll do for all. He has no respect of person. So as we get ready to explore the Word tonight, the title of our lesson is God Opened Doors That No Man Can Shut, and he shuts doors that no man can open. We come in from the book of Luke, and we're going to do some of the verses out of the first chapter. I ask you to read the whole first chapter. You guys may remember that after we finished the books of the Bible, I started doing characters of the Bible. I did Joseph, and last week we did Moses. And I decided that I would do one more character, and since I did two men, I decided that I would do a woman. And Mary came to mind. And that's what we'll be looking at tonight. So I'm going to go ahead and play this song, and I think it's a beautiful song, and I think it is definitely appropriate for what we're going to look at tonight. Pray for our Bible study. Listen to the song. We'll come back, and if God has touched any one of you and you decide you want to pray, you can press the one button once we come back after the song. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that was Mary, Did You Know? By CeeLo Green. It was from the soundtrack and Suffering Christ. Well, at this time, it's time to go to the throne of grace. And as always, if anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone. And we'll go, I'll allow and open the airwaves, and you could pray, and everyone can hear you. Would anyone like to pray on tonight? God is given the opportunity. Well, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, here it is once more. You have allowed us to come together to explore your word. Heavenly Father, I ask that you open our hearts that we could receive, our ears that we could see, dear God. Holy Ghost, I'm asking that you give us illumination and revelation that we could see the hand of God and what is he saying to us through the scriptures, Lord, so that we may know you even more. Lord, the word of God say that we must study to show ourselves approved. It also say that we should grow in grace and the knowledge of our God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It also say that you have provided everything that is necessary for us to live a righteous life. It also say that you have our best interest at heart and you are lover of our soul. Lord, all of this is in your word, and we thank you for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you promised to do. Lord, be with us and guide us, protect us, dear God, from danger seen and unseen. And Lord, I'm asking that you bless each and every home that is represented on this program tonight, either by phone or by the airwaves, and the ones that's going to listen to this program on next week. Bless them, dear God, and the blessings that they are in need of. Continue to guide them in the things of God. Because only what we do for Christ is going to last. Lord, I ask you all of these blessings in Jesus' name for all of our sakes. Amen. And thank God. Since we came on the air at 8:30, some other callers have come in. So I want you to know that the title of the lesson is God Open Doors No Man Can Shut, and Shut Doors That No Man Can Open. We coming from the book of Luke, the first chapter, the 26th through the 38th verse. You know, this week, on the weekend, they had the wedding of Prince Harry and Meghan. And if you really, the Bible teaches us that we should meditate day and night. And, you know, I often sit down and I try to figure out in everything that I see and everything that I hear and everything that I know and everywhere I go, I try to see the hand of God. Because if you're not looking, you can't find it. And the wedding, the royal wedding came on, and I sat down and I looked at it. And one thing I realized, and that's how I came up with the lesson tonight, even though I wanted to talk about a woman, you know, Meghan, who married Harry, was an unlikely candidate. You know, like all the odds were stacked up against her. And yet, she married the prince. You know, some of the things that was against her, she was a woman of color. And they trying to use biracial, you know, more than a woman of color because, you know, some people believe half white is better than no white. And then the other part is, you know, they believe, well, really, they don't even, with her being biracial and half white and half black, because, you know, her mother is black and her father is white, they don't think she's fit to be in the royal family because of that. And she was raised Catholic, which is not really a problem. the Catholic religion have certain rules. And she was an American. She didn't have royal blood. She wasn't from Britain and any of these things. And besides that, she was divorced. That was a huge strike against her because of religious belief, and I'll say religious belief, you know, the religion, the Catholic religion, what they believe, you know, about divorcees. One thing, they can't get married in the church, and just different things. And then she was an actor, a well-known actor that was in the spotlight and maybe did some little things, you know, that, you know, they wouldn't want to be seen. But through it all, God opened doors and no man was able to shut them. And she became the wife of the prince, a part of the royal family without having royal blood. But you see, God uses whoever, and he allows whatever he wants because he is God. And as we look at Mary tonight, a part of our background, and I use that, you know, Mary was a young girl, probably only about 12 or 13 years old, when the angel Gabriel came to her. She had recently become engaged to a carpenter named Joseph. I want to let you know tonight that Mary was an ordinary Jewish girl. She was looking forward to marriage. And you see, even though she wasn't married, and their custom was when the father and the mother of each person decide that you would wed, you wasn't married. It became an engagement, but they looked at it with all the rules of marriage before it happened. You see, suddenly her life changed forever. Mary was young. She was poor and a female. You see, just like Megan, these qualities made her unsuitable in the eyes of her people to be used mightily of God. But God made Mary be what he wanted, where he wanted, how he wanted, because he wanted. Because he is God. You see, God saw Mary trust and obedience towards him. He knew she would willingly serve God in one of the most important callings ever given to a human being. God looks at our obedience and trust. These characteristics is not typical qualification that man consider important. You see, God will often use the most unlikely candidate to serve him. You know, we all sinners saved by grace. Look how God did when he went and chose his 12 disciples, ordinary men to do extraordinary things. With bad, all kind of backgrounds. They said it came from all walks of life. Because you got to remember, what God has for you is for you. And no man will be able to shut a door on you once God has opened that door. You know, not much is said about Mary's history, and the only relatives we know of her, her husband, Joseph. She had some cousins, Elizabeth, and we know of Elizabeth, her husband, Zachariah, and John, their son, as we know, was John the Baptist. Mary had other sons and daughters after Jesus. You know, frankly, I can name them. You know, she had James, Joseph, and some of you, if you're in the Bible, depending what gospel you read, they'll say Hoseas, which is Joseph. And then there's Simon. And then one of the children's name was Judas. But the name we often see is Jude. you know. And the daughters, we don't know how many, were unnamed. You see, I say that because the Catholic religion believes and teaches that Mary never had other children, that she remained a virgin and never had sexual relationships with Joseph. That is why they still call her the Virgin Mary. According to their doctrine of the Immaculate Conception, they believe that Mary was born without the stain of sin, which they believe that Mary was sinless. That is so far from the truth. We inherit our sin nature when we was born. Everyone born of a man and a woman. Mary is no exception to the rule. They believe that Mary is almost equal to Jesus and God. They pray to her to forgive their sins. Mary played a part in God's master plan. And yes, she is highly favored. She's honored and she's blessed. There is not much more said about Mary in the Gospels. We don't even know how long she lived or how she died. We do know that she delivered Jesus. And we're going to go into scriptures right now. We're going to go in Mark, and I'm going to read the 26th verse, and I'm going to read all the way down to the 34th verse. And then we'll go on with the rest of them. And the scripture reads as, I'm starting at the 26th verse in Luke, the first chapter. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent to the city of Galilee named Nazareth. 27. To a virgin expound to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and a virgin named Mary. And the angel came into her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Now, when I read this years ago, I understood where the Catholic faith get the rosary from, and the words they choose to use is in the Bible. They were put there because the angel told Mary that's how God felt about her. But it wasn't put there for you to put Mary in an esteem equal, above, equal, or even above, you know, God. Mary played her part. She did it well. God used her. And verse 29 say, And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the verse 30, And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou art favored with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and they should call his name Jesus. And the other scriptures in Matthew says they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And if we look at the 32nd verse, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Okay, we were talking, I've been teaching about the different examples. So I want you to open up your mind tonight and see the example that God is showing us with Mary, what she did and what how she did it and these type of things. So open up your mind and just meditate on that as we explore the word. You see, God chose Mary, and he also chose Joseph. that's important for us to know. We don't have much background about Joseph. The things we do know point to the man who has integrity and compassion. Matthew's gospel describes him as a righteous man who was deeply concerned when he learned Mary was pregnant. Now, you know that had to be something on him. He knew he hadn't been with her. You see, Joseph was unwilling to expose her to shame and chose to divorce Mary quietly rather than expose her to the possible debt by stoning according to the law. And see, that's why I told you, once you got engaged, it was just like marriage. And even though they weren't married, they had to get a divorce because they was, as they would say, betrothed to one another. And the law said if Mary was pregnant and Joseph said it wasn't his, Mary would be stoned to death because that would be, in their eyes, considered adultery. You see, this reaction indicate that Joseph was not a vindictive man, even for someone whom he assumed had wronged him. You see, later, Joseph's action took Mary and Jesus to safety in Egypt. And this points to the man that he was a strong protector of his family. These personal qualities no doubt made him a good partner and a good father figure for the young Jesus. On another level, Joseph was also from the house of David. So you see, that's why that was important in the scripture. You see, God promised that the Messiah would come from the lineage of David. It said it in the scripture. And they say he was from the house of David, which is consistent with Old Testament reference to the Messiah coming from the line of David. Even though Joseph was not technically the father, but accepting Jesus as his son would have made Jesus a member of the household of David. Now, you see, God had said this in prophecy to Jeremiah and Isaiah over 3,000, 4,000 years ago. And you see, the prophecy, you have to understand, this is part of the prophecy being fulfilled. Everything that God said and gave to the prophets, everything has to be fulfilled. When we studied the book of Revelation, they say that most of the prophecy has been fulfilled except the day of judgment and the rapture, because it haven't come yet. But this is, you've seen tonight that the prophecy is being fulfilled, and Joseph, who's going to be Jesus' earthly father, was from the line of David that put Jesus right where he needed to be. Look at God. You see, this promise was fulfilled in the coming of Jesus, a direct descendant of David, whose kingdom will never end. You see, now, we're talking about using examples for all the ladies and even the men that's out there who may be married or contemplating getting married. Joseph is a good example of how a man should be. We're talking about examples. Now, in the book of Matthew, the angel came to Joseph and told Joseph, look, you know, cool down. You know, she didn't cheat on you. You know, so Joseph had evidence to work with. But, you know, before the angel came and he pondered in his mind, you could imagine some of the things he thought. But you see, God knew Joseph, just like God knew Mary. And God know each and every one of us. And he know what he can use us for. And he knows what we not going to do. And he know what we will do. You see, after we looked at Joseph, we then wonder why God chose Mary above all other women to bring his son into the world. The scripture states that Mary was highly favored. First of all, it is important that we lay aside some misconceptions about Mary. You know, not once did the Bible say that she was sinless. In fact, Mary said that her spirit rejoiced in God, her Savior. If Mary is talking about a Savior, that means you don't need a Savior if you haven't sinned. So that lets you know Mary knew she needed a Savior just like everybody else. You see, in doing so, she declared she needed a Savior. We must understand how God took an ordinary woman and used her in an extraordinary way. God did not use Mary because she was highly educated, because she was not. He did not choose her because she was wealthy. She was not. But you see, this is the point you got to understand. God has a master plan. And it was his plan before the foundation of the world. And y'all often hear me say before the foundation of the world, before the foundation of. But you got to remember, God was in his holy temple before the world was created. And God evidently had everything he wanted from before the foundation all the way through eternity in his mind. And when God spoke, let them first word, let there be, everything went in a motion. Everything went in motion. And you was already in that thought before he spoke. The scriptures tells us that all the time if you're paying attention. See, God had a master plan and chose whoever he wants for whatever he wants. What God has for you is for you. She was poor. Mary was human and had, you know, even though she agreed and she obeyed and she trusted, she was human. So fear came over. Some of the things that came over was the fear of criticism. She had to think, what are the people going to say? I haven't been joined in marriage and I'll be having a baby. This real, y'all. The fear of uncertainties. What are all the things? What are all the things that's going to happen to me now? And she had to wonder if she would be put to death. Hallelujah. The fear of inadequacy. Can I handle all of this? These are some of the things we ask ourselves, you know, because we so. You know, we are our worst critics, and we know where we are, and we might have a desire to be, you know, better than where we are now, and sometimes we don't take the time to do it. So we have the fear of inadequate. Can I handle all this? You know, many times we might ask ourselves when we see the hand of God on us, just like Moses said, I stutter. I'm not elegant. I can't do this. I can't do that. We come up with excuses. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. You know, and then the fear of change. What changes will all this bring about? And she had to say, this is going to change my life forever. And then many of us believe where we are, we don't want to go to the next level because we're comfortable with the way it is now. But I came to tell you tonight, if you're not careful, your comfort zone in any area of your life will rob you from becoming one of God's best. You know, our comfort zone, we believe, is a good place to be, but sometimes we have to realize that it holds us back because we're so comfortable where we are, we're not ready to move. What God sees in you is not predicated on what you think. Every time you believe you heard something from God, And then you start putting up the negatives and the blocks, and the fear set in, because we're human. Remember how God sees you. It's not how you think. You see, because they say, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Because if you heard from God and you can't see it, then you walk out on faith. If you go see it, you don't need faith. Hallelujah. You see, when God uses you, remember, he will never set you up to fail. And then when you're doubting and you feel inadequate and you feel like you're not growing, you know, Paul said in the Bible, he just didn't know why many times the things he wanted to do, he didn't do, and the things he didn't want to do, he did them. That's what happens in my life many times. I don't know about you. But just like God told the Apostle Paul, he, in a sense, he said, look, just rest. You got to realize that all of the writings and the examples that God has given us in the Bible is trying to get us to a day of Sabbath in our life, because Sabbath represents rest. It's not always predicated on what you got to do. It's a predicated on what God is doing. You see, and even though she had them same fears, them four fears we just talked about, I know y'all remember what they were: inadequacy, uncertainty, the fear of uncertainty, criticism, and change. Yes, she did experience all of those. And you got to remember, Mary was human. But them same four fears can keep us from being used by God. But you see, it's not so much the fear. It's recognizing that God is not a God of fear. And then we can look at Mary's response. Mary's response gives us an example of three qualities that keep those things from controlling us. And then we're able to be used by God. One thing Mary said, she had a desire to do God's will. How about you? Number two, the willingness to pay the cost, no matter the outcome. You know, plenty of time God is asking us to do something, and we say, if we do that, this one's going to be mad. If we do that, that one's going to be mad. You know, can you stand up and be willing to pay the cost no matter the outcome? Because Mary accepted. She didn't know the outcome. She knew some of the things that was possible for the outcome, but yet she decided to keep it moving. And number three, the faith to trust God's promise. We all going to experience fear in our lives that keep us from being used by God. We have to remember fear is not of God. And I come to tell you tonight, sometimes fear is only the evidence of something that appears to be real. How many times in your life somebody told you something? Oh, whatever, such and such is sick to die. And you get all, you know, excited. And you get worried. And fear come over you. And then you get to the hospital. And they tell you it was a false alarm. You see, sometimes fear is only the evidence of something that appeared to be real. And anybody that knows me from way back, even to now, my motto has always been, I never panic until it's time. You could save yourself. And we're going to look at verses 34 through 38. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? 35. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee, come on now, the holy thing that's going to be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Hallelujah. And 36, and behold, he even, you know, told, he said, you see your cousin Elizabeth? She has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren, unable to have children. 37. And then look what the angels say. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And 38, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. She's talking about herself. Be it unto me according to thy word. Now, that thy word is the word of God. See, Mary knew a little bit, you know, she was Jewish, and, you know, she was probably being taught in a home and whatever, whatever. She said, be it unto me according to thy word. And when she said that, she accepted, she agreed, she took away the fear, she said, I'm ready, use me, I'm your vessel. And the angel departed from her. You see, I started with the 26th verse, but I read the whole chapter like I asked you guys to do. You see, the beginning of this chapter, it talks about Zechariah, who was a priest, and Mary's cousin Elizabeth. Zechariah, priest, and Mary's cousin Elizabeth, his wife. The Bible said that they were both righteous before God. Elizabeth had been barren without a child, and Gabriel came to them and told them that their prayers was heard, and they would have a son, and they should call his name John. Which I want you to know, they became the parents of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus. Look how God plan is unfolding as he prepare. He said when the time has come in its fullness, he began to unwrap the different plans for mankind for eternity. So John the Baptist parents, the angel talk to them as well. But look at this. God told Mary about Elizabeth and Zechariah because he wanted to give a confirmation and evidence that nothing's impossible for him. Here we see that God can open doors that no man can shut, and shut those that no man can open. You don't remember, you don't even know all of the danger when you say, Lord, protect me from danger seen and outdoor seen. You don't know how many doors God had to shut for that danger you didn't know that was going to come upon you. You know, and we say that grace is God giving us everything we don't deserve, and mercy is God holding back some of the things that we, some of the punishments we do deserve. You see, God shut that door. Mary also knew, like I said earlier, the scripture. When the angel appeared and told her her baby would be the Son of God, Mary replied, I am the Lord's servant. That was in the scripture. But it be it unto me according to that word. She knew the Old Testament prophecy about the coming of the Messiah. She knew she needed a Savior when she said, and this was in, I think, the 47th verse in the same chapter, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. I want to let you know tonight, What God has for you is for you, and he uses whoever he wants because he's God. Each and every one of us has a purpose and a design. Each and every one of us, God has created to do some work for the kingdom. Each one of us, you know, God have a lot of things to accomplish on earth. He's not going to come back and walk on water. He's not going to be a fire in a burning bush. But you see, he's going to use each one of us for each other. That's why the Ten Commandments, when they asked Jesus what was the most important, and Jesus stripped the ten to two, he said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. He said, if you would do that, you would have fulfilled all the laws and the prophets. When they say all the laws and the prophets, remember there was 613 laws and the prophets. The prophets prophesied what God wanted his people to do. God say, if you take care of those two things, you would have fulfilled all of the laws and all of the prophets. You'll be right where you need to be. You have to let God use you. You have a purpose, a design, and an intended purpose. In Jeremiah 29:11, God said, I know the plans I have for you, plans of good and not evil. In Psalms 139, he talks about how he formed you in your mother's womb. He knows the number of hairs on your head. God is a God of purpose, and nothing he created was without a purpose, and neither were you. But can God use you? Is God asking you to go east and you going west? He tell you to read and you don't. He tell you not to take time and pray and you won't. I'm not taking school, and I'm not here to judge. But I'm just saying God wants to use you. You see, there are many tasks that God has purposed to accomplish. At any given time, there may be thousands of people, watch this, who have the natural talent, hallelujah, the learned abilities, and the spiritual gifts to accomplish these tasks. But the vast majority are not available to God. And I could just ask you tonight, can God count on you to do his will? You know where you're spending all your time. You might say you don't have time to read. And again, I'm not, first of all, I don't know what you do. I'm just talking in general. I'm being hypothetical. You don't have time for the things of God, but you have time for everything else. And one of our mottos here on Wednesday night is we take care of God's business, God's going to take care of ours. You make the decision. You see, here we begin to see the plan of God for mankind and some of the people he uses to accomplish it. We can look at the life of Mary. We cannot look at the life of Mary without seeing the significance of God's master plan. You see, what happened long time ago in the beginning, man sinned before the foundation of the world, and God had a plan to redeem man. In order to save man, a man had to be sacrificed. Because you see, before Jesus was sacrificed, they were sacrificing bulls and goats, and they could never take away the sins. They could only cover the sins. But God said, you know, and my people trying to live by the law, and they can't possibly do it. I want to tell you one thing tonight. And people who think they already at the top and they at the pinnacle and they done did it all right and they walking right and they talking right. If one man, a woman, boy or girl could get it 100% right, there would have been no need for God to send his son to die and suffer on the cross to take away the sins. God knew it was an impossible task. But God said, okay, I'm going to take it away from these animal sacrifices. And since I want to save man, I need a man to sacrifice. And God said, I'll do it. You see, in order to save man, a man had to be sacrificed, and they had to be shedding the blood. And just like all of the other sacrifices, it had to be blameless. You see, God decided to allow himself to be wrapped in flesh, to become a man worthy to be sacrificed. You see, God needed flesh. And he decided to use the Virgin Mary. Why? Because he knew she was willing. She had faith, she trusted, and she believed. You see, Mary was important, just as we are also important if we trust and obey the plan that God has for his people. You see, God became the incarnated Christ. The word incarnated means the act of being made flesh. The Son of God came in the flesh in order to save mankind. And when you see, when they say the Son of God, that's Jesus. Identity. That's his spiritual. That's his sovereignty that he has as the Savior. And when you see him say the man, the Son of Man, that's the humanistic side where the flesh was. So they say the Son of God came in the flesh in order to save mankind. Now let me show you another little, two little points. First, it was necessary to be born under the law. See, when Jesus was born, he was still dealing with the law because grace hadn't came till after his death. So because law was in place, Jesus did not disobey or disrespect the law. That's why he said, I didn't come to condemn it, but to fulfill it. So it was necessary for Jesus to be born under the law because all of us have failed to fulfill the law. You see, Christ came in the flesh under the law to fulfill the law on our behalf. Second, it was necessary for a Savior to shed his blood for the forgiveness of sin. There always have to be the shedding of the blood. You see, a blood sacrifice, of course, requires a body of flesh and blood. You can't shed blood unless you have flesh. Hallelujah. And this was God's plan for incarnation. When Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings under the old covenant you did not desire. That's what Jesus said in the book of Hebrews. He's talking about God. He says sacrificing offerings under the old law, that didn't satisfy you, Lord. But look what he said here. But a body you prepared for me. That's Hebrew, the 10th chapter and the 5th verse. A body you prepared. So what is this saying? God created Mary and prepared her body for Jesus. Hallelujah. Nothing that God do is by accident. It's all a part of his plan. That's Hebrews 10 and 5. Without the incarnation, Christ could not really die on the cross, and the cross would be null and void and meaningless. He had to have the flesh to die. So when you think about Mary and her importance and why she was necessary, you have to take all of these things in mind. And as I was studying, you know, and I went to a lot of different places, and when I'm reading, I knew I was on a Catholic website because it says stuff like Mary never sinned and Mary is the mother of God, and Mary is this. I'm not, you know, that's their doctrine. And I don't want to take anything from Mary because Mary did something that no one else did. But you cannot put Mary above God. You could not say Mary and Jesus was like partners in redemption. It's not the truth. Jesus came and did what he was supposed to do. Mary did what she's supposed to do. You know, and just like giving you another tidbit on the story with, you know, up on a different people, Joseph evidently was not living when Jesus was crucified because Jesus turned his mother over to John. And Elizabeth and Zechariah had John the Baptist, who God had put in place at the opening of the gospel. Soon after the 400 years of silence had happened, the first mention in the gospel is John the Baptist. John the Baptist came to soften the hearts and minds of the people, because after the Old Testament ended in the 400 years, God was silent with the people. They had no leaders. They weren't being taught. They was doing anything that seemed right in their own mind. And now Jesus is about to be born, hallelujah, in a town called Bethlehem. And the people was doing what they wanted to do. And God decided that he would allow John the Baptist to come on the scene and start teaching and preaching about repent and sinning and baptizing. And he said that I'm not worthy, but the one that come on after me, hallelujah, telling them that Jesus was on the way. So when we look at this, we see the characters he used, we see the part of the master plan, and that's how you open your eyes to the word of God. And as I close tonight, Mary did receive favor and honor, but she also suffered. Can you imagine as she watched her son beaten, crucified, and hanged on a cross as a criminal? But I come to tell you tonight, oh, but God, in 3 days he rose as her Savior, her Lord, and her Master, the risen Christ. And for any mother, what could be better than that? That's our lesson tonight. If anyone would like to make a comment or add to it, you might know something about Mary that, you know, you could share with all of us. You know, the things that I say, the Catholic faith, dude, that's the teaching in catechism. I went and read plenty of the catechism to see the Apostle Creed and all of that. I know, you know, and that's why I told you guys tonight, that's where the rosary came from. And even when I studied, you know, the Catholic priest some time ago and saw how they was dressed, that's how God dressed Aaron, who he would use as his priest. So things is not so far-fetched and made up, but you got to put it in its right perspective. And, you know, they say the rosary, and they pray in the Mary. Well, you know, in the Catholic religion, they pray the many saints. But we know when Jesus died and he was on the cross and he said it was finished and the curtain tore from the top to the bottom, he gave us access to God for ourselves. And that's just a fact. And that's our lesson tonight. Anyone would like to say anything, ask for prayer? I want y'all to keep praying for my grandson. He graduated today, Madison, who prays sometime on the program. He graduated to the 9th grade. He will be a senior high school student on next year, and I thank God for it. Keep him lifted up in your prayers. There's a lot of graduations going on, and we're going to pray for our children that they could go further in their education. Caller, your number is 985-74-774. I think that's Miss Diane. Your mic is open.
Yes, it is. How y'all doing tonight? I just want to say the lesson was excellent. I've been missing you. I really have been. I really enjoyed it. And just thinking what Mary went through, seeing Hassan go through death like that, it had to be horrifying for her, you know. If you actually sit there and think about killing something because you sinned, that way you really just think about it. It's a lot. It's a lot knowing, oh, I sinned, so now I have to kill something. You know what I'm saying? Is it just
right,
me? But
right,
I just,
right, and they had to do it.
Right.
Go ahead.
They had to do it. I'm not sure how they did it. I know what was it. I don't know how often or anything that they did it. Maybe one day we can go through something like that because I don't know. But I know me with my sons and everybody, please pray for my son, Derek. He's going through a lot. But I have four sons now. I have two grandsons and two boys, too. So just pray for my boys, four of them. And, of course, I'm always praying for you and your kids, and I'm happy to hear about your grandson. He just seems like so smart, intelligent, astute little boy. I like him so much. And soft.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And they said, go ahead.
No, that's okay. And I would just, you know, sort of thank you. And I hope this wouldn't be rude, but I would like to call you maybe one day next week or so, just to talk on the phone.
And
besides,
that's not rude at all. I have a prayer line that's open for questions 24/7, 365. Now, if I'm asleep, you know, I can't get the phone. But the number is 504-289-9501. You could call and we could talk one-on-one about the lesson, like she asked about sacrifices. And I could just throw this in for this quick. But sacrifices was done over and over and over and over and over. But when Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice, it was a one-time deal.
Amazing.
And that's why we should love him even
more. It is.
It's
amazing grace. Just right.
Amazing grace.
And very much respect for Mary to just know that she had to see her son go through all of that. You know,
that's a lot,
you know. And even when she was a young girl, pregnant, and her husband knew it wasn't his, that's a lot. You know.
Right.
So, yeah, she was a strong woman. But
right. And,
it's Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like, the curtain was torn from the top to the bottom. Not from the bottom to the top or anything. From the top to the bottom. You know.
That's right.
Just so that we can talk to him. Okay, it was good talking to you, Sister Diane. I love y'all all.
And please do call me now. I'm going to be looking for the call. And if you don't call me, I'm going to call you.
Sounds great. Okay.
Thank you, Sister Diane. Is there anyone who would like to make any comments? Yeah, Diane, you was about to say something, darling?
No, uh-uh.
Oh, okay.
Do I press the one?
Anyone else would like to say anything? Would someone like to lead us out in prayer? Make a comment about the lesson, ask for prayer. Anybody would like to give a simple word of encouragement? If nothing else, we'll go forward. It is now 9:30, 2 or 3, something like that we did finish in our hour. We always have time for more people. I want y'all to know that I have a slot that's 2 hours, so after 9:30, you know, I won't be cut off or anything. But, you know, I just try to do it in an hour so that I won't hold you guys so long because of the time of night and everything. But I want you guys to know that I love you. We talked about three characters. Meditate on them, Joseph, Moses, and tonight, Mary. Next week, I'm going to start doing parables. and I will do three parables so you could understand what Jesus is saying in a clearer way that he's saying about the things of God. And so next week it's going to be a parable, and I'll give you the posted lessons, the posted readings early, and you could begin to read and study for yourself. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, to rightly divide the words of truth. And I'm just going to do a benediction with my favorite scripture, and this is the desire that I have for each one of us, not you. It's always a us thing, because we all fall short. We all growing. We all want to please God. We all want to do better. No big eyes, no little use, no respect to person. But God doesn't respect a person, but he do respect his principles. So if you take care of God's business, he'll take care of yours. And it is my prayer that each and every one of us grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's our program for tonight. And this is the last chance. Does anyone want to say anything? You could press the one button. If not, we will go off the air. So with all of that being said, remember, God loves you more than you could ever imagine. And peace be with you until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.